This week marks the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther and his great challenge to reform religion and turn it back towards an awareness of what ultimately only God could accomplish. And nailing it on the door was a reminder that there would be more than just doing it a religious way. There would be an encounter with a God-ordained faith. And this week, as I was thinking about this particular event, one man who accepted and faced up the challenge, said, you know what, it cannot be this way. It has to be a different way. And as I was watching and reading, I began to do a little different research, and I heard about a unique thing that was happening in the same country in which that Martin Luther nailed his things on Wittenberg's door, and that you discovered that in a Protestant church in Germany today, they now have a robot entitled Bless You Too. And in that robot, speaking seven languages, that robot, you can walk in. When you walk in, it kind of looks like an ATM machine, but when you push a button, a hand comes out. And if you touch the hand, it lights up. And out of that robot, you get blessings. And it's interesting because the robot speaks seven languages and has the potential to be able to do four things for you. Give you a traditional blessing, be able to bless your companionship, be able to encourage you or to renew you. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Do you think Martin Luther ever thought someday to be a robot blessing people? And for most people going to that church, they like it. You know why? They don't have to deal with a human. I mean, hit a button, bless me today, lights up, reaches out, gives that blessing. If you go to Japan today, they have a robot named Pepper. And Pepper is designed to do your funeral. So you have the privilege of being able to, you walk in, hey, Pepper, Mama died, do the funeral. You can imagine if you would go to Beijing and you would find another robot that's there, all designed to give blessings to people. And here's what you discover as I read and studied about these different robots. Somehow it just doesn't add up to facing the challenge the way God intended. Somehow this robotic thought process that says, you know what, if I don't have to talk to human, it'll be better, is outside of the realm of really what facing up the challenge is all about. And today we find ourselves in Acts chapter 22. And in this text, if you recall, during this month, we've been looking at what happens when we don't wait, but we act, and what happens when we step up. And today we look at what happens when you step up to a challenge, when you face something that has consequence for you, that moves you forward in a certain way. And I want you to get this in mind, because for Paul, he found himself facing what he knew was inevitable as far as judgment. He knew he could not win in the court of opinion of religion. He knew he could not go against all those who religiously said, you're wrong. But he still came back to defend himself. And it's interesting because he came back with his identity linked to his greatest challenge, and his greatest challenge was on the Damascus Road. It was not before people in Jerusalem in Acts 22. It was not before religious people who were trying to judge him. It was when he found himself on a road. And it's interesting. What I want you to see today is this. Because in life, you have to step up the challenge, and you have to get on the right road. Paul was on the wrong road, going to do the wrong thing. God found him there, awakened him, and spoke to his heart in such a way that it changed all of history. And listen carefully. You and I need to encounter him in such a way that we're on the right road, going in the right direction, and we encounter him and we begin to hear him speak to our hearts and to our lives. Because, listen carefully, when he encounters our hearts open to experiencing what he intends, something begins to gel inside of our thought process, and we become vessels worthy of honor. Why do you think Paul echoed those words over and over again? Why was he continually emphasizing being worthy of honor? Because, listen carefully, if you take on your challenge, you prove the worthiness of God, and you live out the worthiness of life he called you to live. And so today, the call is very clear. You have to face up to the challenge and encounter him the way he intended for you to encounter him, and you're going to see what happens when Paul finds himself on that road. So let's think about this. On one road, watch this. On one road, a person will encounter complacency. A person will encounter confusion. A person will encounter things that lead them away from God's intent. On another road, a person will encounter convictions and confidence. So imagine for a moment, you find yourself on a road. And on that road, things are confusing. Things are overwhelming. you find yourself going, wow, I'm not sure which way to turn. And listen carefully. Why do you think somebody falls out of worshiping him in his house? It's because they get on the wrong road. They get on a road that's defined by their parameters instead of God's parameter. And they get confused. Then they get complacent. And as a result, they end up losing direction. And when they lose direction, what happens to them? They end up not experiencing what God intended. So imagine another person. They get on a road. And they get on that road. And what happened to them? They become more and more confident. They begin to develop convictions in their life. And what I want you to think about today is this. There's only two roads. One road leads you to exactly what God wants you to do. One road takes you exactly where he wants you to live. The other road leads you to an abyss of confusion and complacency and causes you not to face the challenge God has for you. So imagine that you're here today and you begin to think, you know what? That's the kind of life I want to live. I want to live a life facing the challenge that he has for me and knowing nothing can keep me back from it. And I'm going to tell you what happened. When you get there, something begins to happen in your spirit and your heart. Something begins to enthuse you. And so today, my question is simply this. What's your greatest challenge today? What is it you're facing today that you go, you know, this is something coming at me? Watch this. It could be with a child. It could be with an issue. It could be with a marriage. It could be with a job. It could be with a circumstance. It could be with something by way of your health. And as you face that challenge, all of a sudden, you begin to be gripped with the reality that the God who knows you knows your challenge. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you need. He knows how to meet you there. And all of a sudden, you open yourself up to him and say, Lord, I want to face this challenge. I don't want it to get the best of me. And I'm going to tell you what happened. When you get there, what happened to you? Your heart gets fixed on him. And when your heart is fixed on him, then you can take on any challenge the way God intended. So look, if you would, Acts 22. Look, if you would, and I want you to look at one verse, because then we're going to come back to this text, because I want you to see through verse 21, what happens, watch this, what happens when you face up to a challenge? And remember this, if you find yourself confused, if you find yourself complacent, it very well could be that you need to get on a new road, and perhaps that road begins today. Perhaps you're at the entry point of that road is going to take you where he wants you to go. Look at Acts chapter 22, verse 8. Notice what it said. And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. He's on the wrong road, headed to do the wrong thing, with the wrong motive, with the wrong purpose, with the wrong intent. And at that critical moment, at that crucial juncture, at that defining moment in his life, Jesus shows up. And what I want you to see today is this. We are not given this story more than one time in the New Testament without a reason. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Paul knew that there would be other people on their own Damascus road, on their own road of confusion, on their own road of complacency. And he knew that they need to be reminded that what happens when you meet yourself on the road God has for you, you live with conviction, you live with confidence, you live with power, you live with encouragement, you live with energy. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you start living there, things begin to change dramatically. So let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 1, Acts 22. Now, I want you to keep in mind now, we've looked at what happens when a guy falls out a window because he falls asleep. We've looked at different aspects of what happens when we center our hearts in accomplishing what God intends. And today we wrap together this thought. Why is this thought consequential? Because next week, we look at what happens when we see the world through God's eyes. When we build a bridge of hope to people who are in need. When we walk across the street to meet somebody at the point of their need at a Good News Club or into an apartment complex to impact their life or to bring canned goods to impact those who are hungry. We see what happens. Get on the right road. But in order for us to have the kind of thrust that God intends for us next Sunday, today is absolutely essential. Because what today says is, I have to get on the right road. What will he do with me? How will he use me? What is his intent for my life? And that's exactly what happens to Paul. Because if you remember, at the latter part of chapter 21 of Acts, Paul is arrested and he's put in a place where they say, you know what, we're going to deal with you. And then watch what happens, because I want you to see something. God has gifted you, just like he did Paul, to be able to address the issues of life in a very effective way. Verse 1, notice what happens, chapter 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the laws of our fathers, being zealous for God just as you all are today. Now note that phrase. He was zealous, but on the wrong road. On the wrong road. Verse 4, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them, I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there in Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened, that as I was on my way approaching Damascus, about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. Now, I want you to stop and look at verse 6 when he says something. I was on my way. And here's what you discover. You're on your way either to accept your challenge or to ignore your challenge. You're on your way to experience what God intends, or you miss what it is he intends for your life. And so today, imagine that you sit here and you go, wait a minute, I got to be gripped with what he wants to do with me. I want to get on the right road. Because if I get on the right road, I can experience what he intends. And that's my challenge for you today. Look on, though. Notice what happened. Verse 7, and I fell on the ground, heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. Now, you get this in your heart and mind. They may see the light, but they don't understand the voice that directs your steps. And it's important for you to distinguish. Everybody may see something going on about you, but you have to hear the voice that knows your name, that speaks to who you are, that grabs you where you are. So let's look at this and let's kind of see, because as this unfolds, I want you to see something. In fact, when you look at Jesus' words, obviously in verse 10, what does he say here? I said to him, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on to Damascus, and there you'll be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. Now I want you to imagine, he's blinded, he's overwhelmed, he's challenged, he's facing something he never faced before, he's listening to a voice he's never heard before, but the voice knows him. And listen carefully, you may find yourself running from what it is he intends to do, but the voice that speaks to you always knows you. Because the voice that speaks to you has known you before you ever formed your mother's womb. The voice that speaks to you has called you to live a holy life, has called you to live a life sustained by his power, equipped by his spirit, utilizing God's word to guide you, allowing your heart to follow his perfect plan. All you have to do is be willing to say, Lord, I accept the challenge. And today I want you to see three things that stand out. Because in this, you see some very distinctive aspects of what happens to Paul. The first thing I want you to see is this. He had a transforming testimony. You see, his testimony was not something that lacked transformation. Because here was a guy who was out of step with God's best for his life. Here was a guy who was out of step and out of tune with what it is God intended to do. And then all of a sudden, a blinding light, watch this, and a distinguishing voice came to speak into his heart and life. And now watch this carefully. When we sense and hear and know that it is the voice of the one who owns our hearts and directs our steps, we begin to yield to that voice because it transforms how we live. It speaks to us even in the night watching. David understood this. David knew that about 3 a.m. God would speak to him. And that's why the Bible says he would awake and let the Lord speak to his heart. And what happens today if you and I all of a sudden say, Lord, speak to me? Our testimony gets more transformational. So look at it if you would. The first few verses, verses 1 through 5, is life without Jesus. And what does he do? He's on the wrong road. Watch this. He's become callous to what matters. He wants to hurt those who claim his name. And listen carefully. There are still people just like this today. Life without Jesus, what does it do for them? It gives them nothing, watch this, but bitterness and anger. It disconnects them from any purpose. And that's why you see people so disillusioned by the world, disillusioned by culture, overwhelmed by circumstances. Why? Because they're living life without Jesus. Listen carefully. It is in Jesus we find our hope. It is in Jesus we find our life. It is in Jesus we find a direction. It is in Jesus we find the right road. And if we don't live in him, watch this, how can we live for him? And if we don't live for him, how do we ever anticipate life being what he intended? The truth of the matter is, it is absolutely a dead-end road when someone lives life without Jesus. The reason I point this out to you is here's Paul, and he's even getting affirmation from the religious people. And listen carefully. We live in a day, in a culture that wants to take the cross out of every image in our day. We live in a day when they look at a plaque. If the cross is there, they're offended. And what I want to say to you today is, you better lift up your cross high. Because if you don't lift it up, who will? Amen? If you don't lift your cross up, listen, it is a distinguishing marker on the roadway of life. It is the signal that says to us, Jesus has done it. Jesus is for us. He's working in us. Every time I walk in this room, I look at these crosses. They were a gift to us when we began this church 12 years ago. And every time I look at them, they were the one thing I wanted out of our old building to look at every Sunday. Because, listen carefully, if you lift up your cross, you'll draw all men to Him. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear somebody who is upset about the cross, you lift it higher. You lift it higher and you distinguish it. Because listen, life without Jesus, listen, our culture is in trouble. Because we have said, everyone gets whatever they want, when they want it, how they want it. It doesn't matter. Listen carefully. That is a lie. There are moral values. There are standards. There are circumstances that guide us. There are convictions that guide us. Listen carefully. We need to all be on the same road with convictions and confidence that God wants to use us, accepting the challenge He has for us. And the reason I want to point this out to you, we may live in a world where it's paganly turned away from Jesus, but we need to be a light shining brightly. We need people to see that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And God help our children. God help our children and our teenagers as they face this society we live in, who wants to make everything right in their own eyes, but never worries about anything being right in God's eyes. Something is wrong in our day. And we have to realize, life without Jesus, this is what happens. It becomes chaotic. It becomes cataclysmic. And it ends up being something we see. Why do we have an epidemic of opiates? Why do we have an epidemic of suicide? Why do we have an epidemic of moral failure? Why do we have all these epidemics? Listen carefully. Without Jesus, there's nothing to hang on to. If you don't have the cross to look up to and Jesus to hang on to, what do? Listen carefully. Point your children and your grandchildren to the one who knows their heart. Point your family to the one who knows their heart. Listen, if you're here today and you're living without Jesus, let me just say this to you. You're on a road to an abyss you do not want. You're on a road that would cost you everything. You want to accept the fact that Jesus has a plan for you, and you want to center your life in Him. So in the first five verses, it's life without Jesus, though. Look on. Verse 6. What happened? All of a sudden, as I was on my way approaching Damascus, and around noon, this bright light shined right out of heaven towards me. And I fell to the ground, and the voice was saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen carefully. Every one of us have impactful moments of transformation. We have moments where when He gets a hold of us, it changes everything about us. It remaps our DNA. Our spiritual DNA all of a sudden is transformed. And I want you to imagine for a moment. Saul didn't just hear a voice, he heard His name. And what I want you to see today is this. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows what we live for. He knows who we live for. He knows why we live. And if we learn how to live for Him, we have these transforming moments. Wouldn't you love to think that you sit in church today and He became everything to you? That He transformed how you thought. He transformed how you lived. He grabbed you. He spoke to you. The negative thoughts that have invaded your world begin to dissipate. Affirming thoughts begin to be reckoned with inside of you. You begin to see, you know, He's with me. He's working in me. He has something for me. And I want you to think about this for a moment. What would happen if every one of us would let our lives be defined by our defining moments? Watch this. Not our obscure moments that don't matter anyway. Those defining moments that guide us, that speak to who we are. Imagine what happens if you and I, we just get defined by God. We get defined by who He is, what He wants to do in our life. Today I challenge you. Let your testimony, your actions be transforming. The third thing I want you to see here, because in verse 8, this voice that speaks, I answered, who are you, Lord? And He said to me, I am Jesus. And in verse 9, those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I want you to get this and not miss it. The most distinguishing voice we should ever hear is the voice of God. As much as we want to hear the other voices that matter to us, what happens with Paul is this. He is trekking in life. He is trekking on the wrong road. He gets stopped in a defining moment and he begins to hear this dramatically distinguishing voice. a voice that stands out above every other voice. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you hear his voice, watch this. His voice is key to your victory. Because when he begins to guide you, you have to listen carefully to a still small voice that whispers carefully to you the instructions of life. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you have that transforming kind of moment, everything else lines up. For me, I can remember distinct moments when I heard his voice so clearly. I heard his voice this morning. I heard his voice speaking to my heart way before I saw anyone. And it was his voice saying to me, "This is the day that I've equipped you to serve me. Serve me with your whole heart." And that voice grabbed me and spoke to my heart, spoke to my life. And I want you to imagine for a moment, what would happen if everyone heard his voice the same way? "This is the day that I've set apart for you to accomplish what I intend. This is the day that you hear me speak, that you yield to me, and you encounter me." I'm going to tell you what happened. Your life would change forever. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. And it can happen to you and me. This story is not here, watch this, for historical reference. It is here to inspire us. It is here to challenge us and to help us see something. He wants to use us. He wants to equip us. He wants to enable us. But we have to be willing to say, "Lord, I surrender to what your purpose is." So today, think about what happened if you have this transforming moment. Second thing, I want you to discover this. Here and the following verses, there's this inspirational action. I mean, there's something that transpired. He begins to do exactly what God told him to do. Now watch this. Everything he knew was against what he was told to do. But in his spirit, he knew it was the right thing to do. And listen carefully. Sometimes we just have to be inspired. Sometimes we just need moments that cause us to act. And that's exactly what happened beginning in verse 10. Notice what happened. "And I said, Lord, what shall I do? Get up, go on to Damascus, and there you'll be told all that has been appointed for you to do." Now, the first thing I want you to see is this. What is the motivating question that sets in motion his challenge? What shall I do? And listen carefully. Nobody gets a pass on action. Nobody can say, "Well, you know, I'm very busy this week. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to witness. I don't have time to beseech the Lord. I don't have time to study." Nobody gets a pass. And I'm going to tell you what happens to David. He asks this question, and he makes it clear. "Lord, what shall I do?" What would happen today if the voice of heaven rang in every one of our hearts, and we asked the question, "What shall I do?" I'm going to tell you what would happen. All of a sudden, we'd begin to realize that the action he intends for us is far greater than we sometimes calculate. We would realize that he wants us to do something that is profound and powerful and meaningful. And I want to ask you a question. What shall you do? What is it you should do? In other words, don't point the finger at someone. What should you do? Who should you invite to his house? Who should you share Jesus with? Who should you share a promise with? Who should you impact? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. What Paul realized was when he got blinded, he also got challenged. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're blinded by our culture, blinded by our environment, blinded by our circumstances, blinded by our situation. And listen carefully. Take off the blinders and understand, ask yourself the question, "Lord, what shall I do?" And when you get there, something amazing will happen. Second thing I want you to see is this. He makes it very clear in the latter part of this verse, verse 10. You'll go to Damascus, and you'll go into Damascus, and there you'll be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. I want you to get this in mind. Following instructions was the key to everything. Following instructions was the key to accomplishing everything that God intended. And listen carefully. We have a complete instruction book. We do not have incomplete instructions. We have a complete instruction book. And what you and I need to do is we need to ask ourselves, am I following the instruction? Am I yielding to what it is he has for me? Well, am I allowing him to become my story? Because listen carefully. When you face up your challenge, he becomes your entire story. He becomes who you are. He becomes what he wants you to do through you. You become a light that shines for Jesus. So he follows these instructions and he begins to do exactly what it is he's supposed to do. But look at verse 11. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. Now I want you to imagine for a second. Nobody else heard the voice. Everyone else was going to persecute. Everyone else was on the wrong road. Everyone else was disconnected from God's purpose. But they grabbed hold of Paul's hand and said, "Hey, come along. We're going to lead you exactly where you tell us to go. And listen carefully. We live in a society, in a world where people are being led the wrong way. And other people are leading them, holding their hand. And what happens is you got to be careful. You got to be careful to look at your own life. Because what he says here is you go and you seek out a man. Verse 12, a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. And standing near me, he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time, I looked up at him and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. Listen carefully. He knew he had to seek out the man who could lead him to help, who could help him. And it's interesting because here's what I want you to get in your mind. On your pathway of challenges, when you face circumstances, God will always place people along the way who will encourage you, who will help you, who speak into your heart life, who will enrich you. You just have to be willing to yield to that. And for Ananias, it's interesting. He was respected. Watch this. He was respected by religious leaders, but he was honored by God because God chose to use him to bring Paul to the realization that everybody needs somebody. Listen carefully. Lucado says it this way. Max Lucado says it this way. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And what I want you to think about today is this. We can't do everything, but we can do something for him. We just have to be willing to say, Lord, I trust you to guide me. You got to seek out the right person. One final thing I want you to see. And I want you to miss this because for some of you, this may be a hinge point on your challenge, all right? Look at verse 16. Now, why do you delay? And get up, be baptized, wash away your sin, calling on his name. Let me tell you what's interesting. All of a sudden, as a result of his transforming encounter with Jesus, he is told very specifically, live out your faith, be baptized. And listen carefully. If you have hesitated at taking that step of obedience, I want to challenge you to realize something. It is only in obedience that we can face our challenge. It is only in obedience. Listen, if you're here and God's called on you to become a part of this family, you have to, in obedience, step into that. If you've never been baptized, you need to take action on it. Say, well, you know what? I want the water to stir with my commitment. And interesting, Paul did not have to go through a 10-week course. Paul encountered Jesus in such a way that it changed his life forever. My challenge for you today is simply this. If you've not been baptized, why not? And if you've not been baptized, why not now? You need to act on it because your challenge may be hinging on your willingness to obey him. And whether you're in the balcony, whether you're downstairs, if you've never been baptized, you need to look at this because here's what Paul's instructions were. Get up, get moving, get in the water, and start living for me. It was a great challenge. It's a great reminder to all of us. We need to get up, get moving, and experience what he intended. Look on, though. One final thing I want you to see. Because in verse 17, notice what happened. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by approving, watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Now, I want you to see what transpires here, because all of a sudden, he gets heavenly instructions. And what I want you to see today is, God gives us instruction. I want to illustrate this in a way that you can't miss it, because I want you to see what happened. He is finding himself in a place where God's intent for his life was being defined by his willingness to obey. And he begins to tell his story. Watch this. He had defining moments. It wasn't just when he persecuted. He still remembered the blood of Stephen. And I'm going to tell you what he remembered. He remembered that everybody's coat that was taken off so they could stone him more effectively. Everybody's coat was laid at his feet. And can you imagine? He never forgot those coats. He never forgot what had transpired. And here's what I want you to get in mind. Just as much as he did not forget what he had experienced outside of God's will, you and I ought to experience things inside his will. You and I encounter him in that kind of way. And so he's given us instruction. And his instruction is profound and dynamic, but it's very heavenly. The first thing he's told, I'll give you the boldness to face any challenge, but you have to be willing to hear what I'm saying to you. So he said, you need to go. And I want to tell you, when the Bible says he got in a state, watch this, he was in a state where God could speak to him no matter what. In other words, his focus was solidified. He was zeroing in. And it's more than just a stare. It was absolutely God taking hold of him saying, no, I'm going to speak to you right now. But he had a boldness. I'm going to ask you, how bold are you to accept your challenge? How bold are you to say, you know what? I know what it is God has for me. I'm going to do it. If you're bold, you experience something really profound and amazing. The second thing that happens, though, he had the wisdom, watch this, to listen to Jesus. Because Jesus tells him, you know what? You got to get out of here. It's not the time. It's not the moment. He had the wisdom to listen. And listen carefully. When we get wise enough to listen, we get bold enough to serve. And when we get bold enough to serve, we get challenged by things. We say, Lord, I'll do this no matter what. I'm telling you, that's the very essence of what we're trying to accomplish as a family. That's what we want to do. We want to see hearts change. We want to see lives change. That's we want to see transformation occur across the street, around the world. We just have to be willing to go, Lord, I want to make sure I live out my life and make it count. The final thing I want you to see is this. When he realizes what it is that Jesus is saying to him, and in verse 21, he says, go for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. He understood his assignment. He knew what it is that God wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. His heart was tested. His life was tested. I want you to think about this for a moment. You're walking down the road of life, and you come up to a robot. You come up to a robot, it's bless you too. You're on vacation in Germany. And you look at that robot and think, well, why do I need a robot to bless me? The God of heaven will bless me. The God of heaven knows my name. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about all the different tests you face. And see, Paul's greatest test, Paul wanted to fight. And Jesus told him, your fight is not with these religious people. Your fight is with the sinfulness of the world. Lead people to me and it'll change the world forever. And that's exactly what he did on his missionary journey as he changed the world. God used him in a profound way. So here's my question for you. What are your tests that will challenge whether you live out your challenge and face it or not? What are your tests? What is it that God has for you? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you're willing to look at your life today and you know what? I'm going to remember the coats that I guarded. But now I'm going to remember the sin that was forgiven. And I'm going to encounter you in a bold and amazing new way. I'm going to tell you what happened. Today, we could change the DNA of all we're trying to accomplish. My question for you today is this. If you're here today, you've never been baptized, why not? If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart about becoming part of our family, why not today? If you're here today and you face things in your life and you've had all your challenges come at you, but every one of them you've surrendered to something less than what God intended, what happens if you face up to your challenge? You face up a challenge, you become empowered to accomplish what he intended. I'll tell you what happened. Life is never the same. And it's my prayer, whether you're in a balcony, whether you're downstairs, that life will never be the same as a result of being in his house on this day. Face your challenge. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing word that energizes how we live. Lord, when I think about what Paul relived his defining moments. Those defining moments that set in motion everything. So Lord, in this house, if there's someone here who's never said yes to you, I pray they'd take that action today. If there's someone here who's never been baptized, pray they take that action. If there's someone here who knows this is where their heart should be, that this should be their family, move them from the front, from the back, from upstairs, downstairs, Lord, whatever it is you want to do, move in their lives. Lord, today we face the challenge, we face the test, and we will pass it no matter what. We bless you because of that and bless you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.